We focus a lot here on the struggle for democracy that's emerging around the Arab world. But the one going on in the Kingdom of Bahrain festers largely under the radar. When massive protests for reform and democracy began there nearly 2 years ago, the government clamped down with the help of troops from Saudi Arabia and neighboring Gulf states. The clashes and the daily demonstrations continue, but largely outside the capital, Manama. And the ruling Al Khalifa family has yet to introduce meaningful reforms, despite repeated promises. Just days ago, Bahrain hosted an international security conference and made more such promises. But at the same time, the courts kept one of the nation's most prominent human rights activists in jail, though they reduced one charge and slightly reduced his sentence from 3 years to two. Many of them have had their citizenship revoked, and even doctors and nurses who treated victims of government violence have been convicted of crimes against the state and given lengthy prison terms. And those activists accuse the United States of largely sitting on the sidelines. Bahrain is a Persian Gulf state directly facing Iran. It's also home to the U.S. Fifth Fleet, a key strategic asset in a critical neighborhood. I recently spoke with Mariam Al-Khawaja, a member of one of Bahrain's most prominent activist families. I asked her about the ongoing stalemate. Mariam Al-Khawaja, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You work in human rights, and so does your father in Bahrain. He was on a hunger strike to protest a life sentence.
Yes, that is correct.
And is he still in jail, and do you have any hope that he will get out?
He's definitely still in prison. He was sentenced to life because of his human rights activities. His hunger strike was, of course, not only to protest his sentence, but to bring attention to the situation of political prisoners in Bahrain and the conditions that they were going through. Of course, in Bahrain, we have systematic torture, and children as well as adults get subjected to this torture, whether in official or unofficial torture centers. And I don't really have hope, because we don't have an independent or fair judicial system in Bahrain.
In 2011, as the Arab Spring was sweeping through the region, it hit Bahrain as well, and yet it's still very much under the radar, so to speak. Have protests diminished? Are they just not in the capital? What is the status of the protest movement there?
The protests have continued almost every single day since the 14th of February 2011. They never stopped. The media just stopped covering it. Now, the thing is that Bahrain is what I like to call an inconvenient revolution. It's inconvenient to the Arabs, and it's inconvenient to the West because of Bahrain's geopolitical and economical interests in the region.
So presumably you mean that it's supported by Saudi Arabia and it's supported by the U.S. because of the Fifth Fleet and what the Fifth Fleet does in terms of protecting that geostrategic area. What do you think of the U.S. reaction to the democracy uprising in Bahrain?
I think Bahrain sets the perfect example to the failure in the foreign policy of the United States of America. We're seeing a very clear double standards when it comes to standing up for human rights and against human rights violations. And unfortunately, the message that's being sent to the Middle East and North Africa region today from the United States is that if you are a Western ally, then you will not be held accountable for human rights violations, which is exactly what we're seeing in Bahrain. The Bahraini regime today believes that they have international immunity. And the problem isn't in their belief that they have it. It's the fact that it's a reality. They have not been held accountable for the human rights violations. On the contrary, arms sales continue to happen to Bahrain. There are several countries that continue to do business as usual with Bahrain, and economical interests continue to take place as well.
And what do activists there say about the presence of the U.S. Fifth Fleet?
Well, the U.S. Fifth Fleet was never really a part of the issue. The issue was people going out to the streets demanding democracy and human rights and so on. It's become more of an issue now that people on the streets believe that the United States is to some extent complicit in what's happening in Bahrain. Because the United States continues to sell arms to the Bahraini regime, because every statement that comes from the United States starts with the sentence, our ally and friend, and because there hasn't been any real consequences towards the human rights violations in Bahrain, people on the streets are becoming more and more frustrated with the United States and their stance towards the situation in Bahrain.
Now, at the beginning, I remember, much like Syria, the Bahrainis were not calling for the regime, or rather the monarchy, to fall. They were calling for reforms. Mm-hmm. What is the heart of the demand of the opposition right now?
The overall demand that you see mostly on the streets today is the right to self-determination. Of course, you have the political societies who are calling for a constitutional monarchy, and you have the people on the streets who are the majority, who are calling for the stepping down of the king himself. And for us as human rights defenders and human rights organizations, for us, of course, our call is not for political change. Our call is for a government that respects human rights, whether it's in the form of a constitutional monarchy or not. But we do call for accountability. And if we find that there is evidence that the king, the prime minister, and the crown prince have been responsible for the human rights violations that have taken place in Bahrain, then they need to be held accountable as well.
There is a consensus, a general view, that the crown prince, at least, young, moderate, Western educated, has been trying behind the scenes to work for reform. And indeed, the government there says, and I will quote, "The Kingdom of Bahrain has enacted many significant initiatives and reforms. The opposition have refused to participate in discussions about reforms despite repeated invitations." Now, this is from the ambassador of Bahrain to the United States.
Well, of course, if we can look at a very good example, the Bahrain had the Bahrain Independent Commission of Inquiry, which was commissioned by the king himself, and it was fully accepted by the king himself again. Now, what we're looking at is that Bassiouni himself came out, who was the head of the commission, came out himself and spoke about how Bahrain was not making the progress that they had promised to make in regards to these reforms. We are looking at a situation, a human rights situation in Bahrain, that is deteriorating, not becoming better. Bahrain is not on a slow path of reform. They're going down the wrong path, which is increasing human rights violations and absolutely no consideration for basic human rights.
Tell us what the influence of Iran is, because the minute you talk about Bahrain, not only your own government ministers, but also the United States and others in the region say that Bahrain is simply, or rather the opposition in Bahrain, is simply a client of Iran. In fact, Samira Rajab, who's the Bahraini Minister of Information, has said their loyalty, she's talking about the opposition, is to Iran leaders and to Iran as a nation who's protecting and supporting the Shia in the war.
Well, of course, if you look at the Bahraini civil rights movement, which dates back to the 1920s, it goes far beyond the revolution in Iran or the current situation in Iran. And so the civil rights movement is something that's very, very old in Bahrain and has no relation to events in Iran. Now, of course, what the Bahraini regime is very good at doing is labeling the Bahraini opposition with whatever they perceive as being an international threat at the time. And that's why in the beginning, all of the opposition was Nasser socialists. Afterwards, there were communists, and then they became Iranian agents, and now they're terrorists as well as Iranian agents. And they do this very well. Samira Rajab is someone who came out and publicly supported Saddam Hussein. So is she someone that we really want to take as, you know, the right person to be talking about human rights or what the opposition stands for or human rights movement would stand for?
How do you think this is going to be resolved?
I think that, you know, the situation in Bahrain is not sustainable. And I think the U.S. is starting to realize that they're actually creating a self-fulfilling prophecy where they are using the excuse of Iran as a threat to not get involved in Bahrain. They're actually creating a vacuum where Iran can get involved in the future. And so this is very problematic. And I think this is becoming more and more clear the more the crackdown becomes more severe in Bahrain. I'm not really sure how it's going to become resolved. It's either going to take about 5 years or 50 years, right? It's either going to come through a very violent revolution that is going to bring about an entire regime change that's going to take much longer, or it's going to come through real international pressure towards stopping human rights violations, which will then open an entire new platform for real reforms to take place.
Mariam Al-Khawaja, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.